From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text comes from Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Most manifestly, the confidence which the psalmist here expressed was a divine confidence. He did not say, I have grace enough to perfect that which concerneth me. My faith is so steady that it will not stagger. My love is so warm that it will never grow cold. My resolution is so firm that nothing can move it. No, his dependence was on the Lord alone. If we indulge in any confidence which is not grounded on the rock of ages, our confidence is worse than a dream. It will fall upon us and cover us with its ruins to our sorrow and confusion. All that nature spins, time will unravel to the eternal confusion of all who are clothed therein. The psalmist was wise. He rested upon nothing short of the Lord's work. It is the Lord who has begun the good work within us. It is he who has carried it on. And if he does not finish it, it will never be complete. If there be one stitch in the celestial garment of our righteousness which we are to insert ourselves, then we are lost. But this is our confidence. The Lord who began will perfect. He has done it all, must do it all, and will do it all. Our confidence must not be in what we have done, nor in what we have resolved to do, but entirely in what the Lord will do. Unbelief insinuates, you will never be able to stand. Look at the evil of your heart. You can never conquer sin. Remember the sinful pleasures and temptations of the world that beset you. You will be certainly allured by them and led astray. Ah, yes, we should indeed perish if left to our own strength. If we had alone to navigate our frail vessels over so rough a sea, we might well give up the voyage in despair. But thanks be to God, he will perfect that which concerneth us and bring us to the desired haven. We can never be too confident when we confide in him alone, and never too much concern to have such a trust.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Heart is the voice of angels, born in a song to me. Of glory over the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall
save from corroding care, save from the bite of sorrow, free from my doubts and fears. Only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Oh,
safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shame.
Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or
in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. The current message is called A Worthy Goal for Every Year. And although it was preached on New Year's Day of 2006, its truths are applicable for every day of every year. The text is chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, Paul's prayer for the Colossian believers. And expounding this prayer, Dr. Cairn sets forth a series of goals which ought to characterize the life of every child of God. He has emphasized the need for progress in the Christian life. In addition, there is the seeking after the fullness which God desires for his people. Then, Paul prayed that those believers might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. In other words, the chief end of the Christian's life should be to live in holiness, in obedience to the Lord who said, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
God's people are not meant to live on empty. In Christ, this is Paul's expression here to this very Colossian church. In Christ, there is all fullness. All fullness. John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel, verse 16, of his fullness of all we received, and grace upon grace, grace piling on top of grace. That's how he describes it, fullness. You remember what the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, I know that's true of the eternal state, but it's true now. That's why when we get to the New Testament, it speaks of fullness regarding every area of Christian experience. There's a fullness of assurance. I don't want to get into church history and especially historical theology this morning. It's a fascinating study. But one of the marks of the Protestant Reformation was their doctrine of assurance. Then, as now, it ran contrary to the dictates of papal theology, which then held and still held that assurance in this life is impossible. The reformers, on the other hand, spoke of assurance as being normal. Some of them went even further and made it essential. I think they were wrong on that. But I can understand how they reached it. It's because they themselves were enjoying, as did the apostle, such a fullness of assurance. This is what he says to the Colossians here. In chapter 2, verse 2, the full assurance of understanding. Speaks again of the same fullness of assurance in Hebrews 10 and 22. There's a fullness of hope. The hope of a Christian is not the vague wish that something good will happen. There was a thing that soloists in Northern Ireland, I'm sure they did it here too, for this was an American production. But soloists in Northern Ireland, forgive me if I say that sometimes soloists are the dumbest people on earth, in that if they like the tune, they'll sing anything. I have heard Christians sing the greatest load of heretical rubbish. If I was to preach it, I'd get thrown out on my ear. But they can sing it because it has a nice little tune to it. And there was a while, one of them actually came to my church, and she was a very nice singer. And the strange thing is, a very good and godly woman. But on this occasion, she sang her swan song, because she came and she sang this rubbish. Something good is going to happen to you. I said, that's enough of that. If that's the gospel, God help us, we're in trouble. If that's the gospel, we are in trouble. I don't even think there's help from God for such a gospel. That's rubbish. That's not the hope of a Christian. What is the hope of a Christian? It's an assured hope, and it's a full hope. It's an overflowing certainty. That's the glory, you see, of biblical hope. It's not an uncertain thing. Biblical hope is a certainty that we're waiting for in the knowledge it's going to happen. That's biblical hope. There's a fullness of joy. A fullness of joy. Doesn't say a fullness of happiness. There'll be times when you're not particularly happy. I have to be honest, if I get a blinding headache, I don't feel terribly happy. If you've had the misfortune to be one of those people in the area recently who had the stomach flu, I'm sure you weren't feeling particularly happy about it. But joy goes a lot deeper. Do you ever try to define joy? I'd like you to try it. You'll find it's not an easy word to define, because we naturally go to stick it into the category of mere happiness, which I always emphasize in English, not in Hebrew or Greek or Latin, but in English. It is a word related to what is happening. Joy goes much deeper than that. Let me give you some lines that you may pursue as you try to define joy. Joy is deep-hearted pleasure. It's that which is pleasing to the soul. It's a pleasure in the experience of what God has done for us, what Christ is doing for us, and in the prospect of what He is yet to do for us. Unlike happiness, which focuses on the moment, joy focuses on the Master. And there is a fullness of joy, according to 1 Peter 1, verse 8. There's a fullness of goodness. Paul wrote to the Romans of this in chapter 15 and verse 14. There's a fullness of goodness. Oh, how often we lament the wickedness of the old heart. The flesh with all its propensity to betray the work of grace and fight the movement of the Spirit. The flesh is so corrupt that Paul said, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." And the mind of the flesh is incapable of being changed. It must be subjugated, must be defeated. That's what he was teaching to the church at Rome. But yet, despite that, he says, you can have a fullness of goodness. And to sum it all up, you can live, as he put it in one of my favorite expressions in the whole New Testament, in Romans 15:29, in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Work backwards. Christ, the gospel of Christ, the blessing of the gospel of Christ, the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. That's what there is for God's people, and that's God's goal for us. I've said many times from this pulpit that there are certain passages of Scripture to which I constantly revert, and especially when I'm down or troubled, I will come back to these well-worn passages. 1 Peter chapter 1 is one such passage. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul's great prayer for the Ephesians, that's another such passage. And especially Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's other great prayer in Ephesians for the church there. And he prayed for them, if we could break in at verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, or the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. And then this tremendous statement, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does that mean? In ultimate terms, I can't tell you, because it defies definition. It goes beyond anything I can define. But let me put this to you. When God communicated to the Lord Jesus Christ fullness, you see, there is in Christ a fullness that belongs to His deity, but there is a fullness given Him as the mediator by which God, according to His covenant, communicated to Him the fullness of the gifts and the graces, the power and the ability necessary for the completion of His work. We read some of this from Isaiah chapter 11 during the Christmas services, when there was the promise of the Spirit in the sevenfold fullness of the Spirit that God gave to Christ the mediator. Now, when He communicated fullness to Him, what was it? It was the abounding ability to fulfill the will of God for Him. Now, on a different level, what does it mean to be filled with all the fullness of God? It means to receive from Him in abounding fullness all the gifts and all the graces that are necessary to live the Christian life right up to the standard of the will of God for us. God's goal for us individually and as a church is progress. God's goal for us individually and as a church is fullness. And God's goal for us individually and as a church is holiness. And you'll see how He sets this goal before us in three major areas, and I will have time only to sketch them out. He speaks first of the will of God, that ye might be filled with the full or developed or mature knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or, as I think the text would indicate, we could switch where spiritual is, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. What's He saying here? The discovery of God's will, that's what we must know. We must know what it is. And then conformity to God's will. I repeat a quotation, or as near as I can remember to it being a quotation, from Dr. Bob Jr. He used to say that God does not reveal His will to people in order for them to question it. God does not reveal His will to us to speculate upon. God does not reveal His will to us to argue about. God reveals His will to us to obey it, to fulfill it. The discovery of God's will, that you might be filled with this knowledge, and conformity to God's will in all that follows, in bringing it out in our lives.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.